For those just tuning in, this is Around the Block on WIBC New Haven. I'm Hamad Ahmed. We're at part three of our show. It's called Mr. Anonymous. So would you consider yourself a romantic, Erica?
I wouldn't, but I think my writing would lie about that. Oh, it would betray me, rather. And I think my recent exploits in the workplace would also betray that claim as well.
So you're a writer and you work.
I'm a writer, first and foremost, and work is second. Yes.
But lately it seems like your romantic life is taking precedence over your work and your writing.
You have no idea. Yeah, I've been absolutely blindsided by Mr. Anonymous.
Mr. Anonymous.
Mr. Anonymous. Is my future husband.
Does he know that?
No, not yet. He and I did have lunch recently, and my heart was on my sleeve. Except I didn't tell him that it was right there, and I hope he couldn't see it, because that would have been the most wonderful thing that could have happened to me, and I'm not ready for that.
What was your first memory of Mr. Anonymous?
Mr. Anonymous. It was my second day of work, and I was coming from the ladies' room, and it's a giant labyrinth, the floor that I work on. And I had no idea where I was trying to find the kitchen, and I closed my eyes, and I was like almost about to scream out loud. I'm like, where's the kitchen? And I opened up my eyes, and he's standing right behind me. Well, I mean, he was probably to my side, because I could see him in my peripheral. And he's like, it's right there. And he pointed about 12 feet away from me. And I'm like, right, thanks. But then, as I was walking into the kitchen, I just remembered, wait a minute, that is the most beautiful man I have ever seen in my entire life. And it was probably about one half physical attraction, and the other half was just his mannerisms, his body movement.
The way that he pointed to the kitchen.
Oh, that finger at that 29-degree angle was just unbelievable.
So here you are at work, and you're tongue-tied.
Tongue-tied. I was on so many occasions in the first week and a half, maybe 2 weeks of work, I would walk by his desk and I would smile at me and I would just turn beet red. I wouldn't say I was dreaming about him. What I was doing was scheming.
On
ways. I was looking for reasons to walk by his desk just on the off chance that split second when I was walking by his desk, I would have enough chutzpah to stop in and say hello.
I think it's typical for someone in a crush to try to dig up information on that person or to find out more about them. I mean, were you doing anything?
You're totally digging here, pal. Just ask me if I ever looked him up on MySpace, which I did.
You did.
He had some music on there.
Music.
And this one song that was on there, I'm like, that's an absolutely... the first song that was on when I went to his page, they're the words to an old Catholic prayer. To the patron saint of road safety, that would be Saint Christopher. March 10th of this year, I was coming home from a restaurant, and I was going about 65 miles per hour, and I was rear-ended by a drunk driver who totaled both of our cars, and I was, for about 2 seconds right during that collision, I feared for my life. I remember screaming. I heard myself screaming. Didn't feel it. Heard myself screaming, just thinking, like, is the last thing we're going to see this barrier holding up the overpass going to be the last that I see? Jumbled thoughts, just like I just said. And the one thing I had to get from my car that I wouldn't let the truck leave with was the St. Christopher medal, which all you Catholics out there know is that little tiny silver clip that fits just above your visor. St. Christopher is the patron saint, blah, blah, blah. And my godmother had given that to me.
So that medallion seemed to be a symbol of your growing connection.
Yeah, I don't know.
You like small details were adding up and making it seem.
No, that's just one of them, absolutely. But on more than one occasion, I would be sitting at my desk, and I'd have a hot cup of tea, full cup of tea next to me. I would have no impulse to use the ladies' room whatsoever. But then all of a sudden, my gut, my mind, everything just screams, get up, walk out, go now. And I'm an intuitive person, and I know when to acknowledge it, and I know when to ignore it, and this is like, no, I'm in the middle of working, I'm actually finally getting to concentrate, fine, it just feels wrong if you just sit there and ignore it. So I get up, go, walk to the bathroom. Look, who's coming out of the men's room? That would be Mr. Anonymous. That happened at least 4 or 5 times, I mean, in different places. Bathroom, kitchen, photocopier. And it is a relatively big floor, so that, I took those as go signs.
You know, I would take those as signs that Mr. Anonymous didn't do any work, just went from bathroom to kitchen to photocopier all day long. Listening to Erica, I was having trouble imagining how she moved past this lovesick state of affairs. Turns out that her writing was the link to Mr. Anonymous that had been hiding just under the surface the whole time. What was the strategy you used to get him out of the office and get a one-on-one time with him?
I finally went to his email. Not his email. I ended up writing him an email.
Yeah.
And I wrote to him because talking to him in one of those days had given me such a great idea for a character for one of my stories, or an entirely new story, which was, you know, half supernatural thriller, half multilingual genius child. And
so wait. You were writing a story and you had a character who was multilingual and a boy genius.
No, not exactly. I was brainstorming ideas. I was writing one story, and then another character popped into my head. He was kind of from backstage. He was like, wait a minute, I'm waiting for you to start writing this other story. Let's talk about it. So I put this one story I am working on right now on hold. Went over to this, started brainstorming, like, what if somebody's innately born with all these languages? What if someone is a language prodigy? And one detail came to me after the other, and I'm like, wait, well, this is kind of Mr. Anonymous's area of expertise. So, I wrote him, Dear Mr. Anonymous, I know you're leaving me to go out of town, wondering if I could pick your brain, I'll explain later, or something like that. And he wrote back, yes, that would be great.
In the interview, what did you ask Mr. Anonymous?
Mr. Anonymous was asked about the roots of languages, was asked about how many languages are spoken, how many languages have died out, why they've died out. Also, then I felt comfortable enough to steer it in his direction, which I wasn't expecting. And I was interested as a writer. I was interested as a woman. I was interested as a coworker. Like, how did you get into this field? I believe he is an expert in the field. And he ended up telling me hand in hand with the fact that he kind of felt an identity with my character, which blew me away. That he, like my character, had spent his childhood going through dictionaries, like, going through words, and he didn't have a normal childhood, Mr. Anonymous, or my character. And
so you created a character that Mr. Anonymous could identify with?
Mr. Anonymous did identify with.
But it was also a character, a very typical character from your kind of writing.
Yes, very typical.
So in a way, was this character kind of like the brainchild of you and Mr. Anonymous?
I would really be interested in pondering that question further, but you know, that's an interesting way to put it. It wasn't a brainchild, it was kind of like the child existed and then Mr. Anonymous and I came together.
Weird.
Yeah.
The chicken and the egg are totally reversed.
Although it was the egg first, because embryonic cell in life, I will argue that to the death, so.
Interviewing her longtime crush turned character study was risky and could have ruined Erica's love life and her story, but for the first time, she didn't feel nervous at all.
As the conversation kept going, something came over me, as if, you know how you go home for the first time after a semester of school. You see your backyard, you see your dog, you see your family, and you feel like you're home. Talking to Mr. Anonymous, it feels like home. It was, I mean, cool breeze, like cold, good chills, hot, sweaty palms, and just, this could be my best friend in the world, this could be my brother, this could be anyone that I've known my entire life, and it just felt like home. And there's objects you see, and you know it inside and out, like back of your hand, that type of stuff. That's what it felt like.
Not to shoot Cupid in the foot, but what are the chances that Mr. Anonymous just wants to be friends?
Chances that Mr. Anonymous Anonymous Wants to Be Friends are very high. He's a cordial man. He's a cordial man. And I am, although I am willing to acknowledge that, I don't want to acknowledge that because I'm a hopeless fool right now. And no, and I can appreciate the fact that nothing will come of this. And that's okay. I had my interview. I mean, it's not okay. It will never be okay.
Mr. Anonymous, if you're out there, Erica has a message for you.
I really don't.
Okay.
I mean, I do. Well,